Here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right. Are you familiar with the term Touron? It's a derogatory slang blend of tourist and moron used by national park rangers to describe vacationers who commit acts of stupidity. Now, the term is usually associated with visitors to Yellowstone who, against every warning, approach or touch or provoke the local wildlife, typically with bad results for the idiot tourists. In fact, Yellowstone, the authorities there recommend that you stay at least 100 yards away from the bison. And that is exactly what a grandfather did over the weekend. Unfortunately, the bison apparently was unaware of the 100-yard rule and charged the old man. And try as he might in his suspenders, he could not escape the wrath. So the bison managed to flip the poor guy 8 feet into the air. And it would have been worse, but several tourists came to his rescue. Because sometimes you need rescue. An 82-year-old woman, she needed rescue when she slipped and fell in her bathtub and couldn't get out for 9 days. Believe it or not, she survived, but her neighbor eventually found her after her brother, who lives out of state, called the neighbor to say, can you go check on her? 9 days trapped in her bathtub. Then there's the man who was on a flight from Greece to Germany. Now, he needed help from his fellow passengers when his head and shoulders got sucked out of the hole where his window had previously been. Apparently, this thing popped out mid-flight and it tried to suck his ass out. The good news is he was wearing a seatbelt. No, Mike, not like that. luckily, he was wearing a seatbelt, but the other passengers had to grab him by the legs and pull him back in. So that worked out. And listen, sometimes you're on a plane. Let's return to the friendly skies, where sometimes you just have to rescue yourself. Because in this case, a young student pilot had to land the plane herself for the first time after her instructor jumped to his death mid-flight. Nobody saw that coming. He opened the door and jumped the hell out, and she's like, oh! So she actually had to land the plane. And they did say she did it without a problem, but she wasn't shocked. You don't say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so today we're talking rescue, lending a helping hand, coming to someone's aid. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's someone else, or maybe you just watched it from afar and video it on your phone. So today our question is, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, when did you need or lend a helping hand?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Send those emails to the Men's Room at KISW.com and now watch the show live on YouTube at KISW Rock.
Debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hello, away we go. Welcome to the 21st Amendment season, episode number 4561. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Your guess is as good as mine coming up. Our categories today, we have the U.S. cities that rats love the most.
That rats love the most.
Yes.
All right.
I picked this category because they tore down a couple of big buildings in my neighborhood, you see. And the rats are not happy.
Uh-oh.
And they are out in full force.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's they have been relocated unbeknownst to them, and they're looking for a new home. So as many rats as I've seen.
I don't give them your address.
It's not far. It's within
the
block.
Give me cheese.
Man, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, the Orkin is offering up some tips here on how to get rid of rats. Not only that, they put together, as far as residential rodent treatments, businesses, they need to get rats removed as well. Do you live in one of these, what they call, unfortunate towns? So we have...
unfortunate towns.
As far as rats go.
Yeah.
In the United States. That's one of the categories. Then on the flip side, we have the states that spend the most and least on fast food. We've taken the most today. So as far as your staple...
We're back to SEC football?
We are back to SEC football in a big way. And a couple other stragglers. But they are exactly the states that you believe them to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Rhode Island, as far as the states that spend the most money on fast food. It's, yeah. That's coming up for you at 4:30 on the program. Today we're going to talk about when you needed or lended a helping hand. And we start with a story that is absolutely one of my worst nightmares. Now, Ted, I know for a fact that you share the love that I do of air disasters.
I mean, I watched the show, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do too. I get suckered into it.
Yep.
There was one.
I just stopped watching it, though. So it was freaking me out every time I got on a plane.
We were
We were in Florida over the week. It was on the TV in the hotel room. My wife and I were about to start watching it. Then we realized maybe not with the kids in there. Because they're going to get paranoid that we're going to die on the way home.
Now, the one that freaked me out for life was a story about a plane. And I'm not sure if a goose hit the front window. I cannot remember if one of the panels just burst open on the cockpit of the aircraft. It's a commercial aircraft. And this pilot gets sucked out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two other pilots in the cockpit, and they are holding onto his legs for dear life. He is literally laying on the front of his airspace. I mean, I don't even know how much longer it took. It was like 25 minutes for them to land this thing. Somehow this guy lives. I don't know how it happens, but they literally, I mean, they do a reenactment.
Of course. That's the part you like.
But he's laying on the, I mean, I'm just like, I am freaking the F out. This is like my worst nightmare, is to be in a situation like this. So when I read this story over the weekend, I was like, oh man, this really sucks. Passengers on a Ryanair flight from Greece to Germany say one, you got to keep in mind, that's not a far flight.
No, not really.
It's really not. One man ended up with his head and shoulders outside a broken window after a loud bang, they say that happened mid-flight. The Boeing 737 had just left the airport when witnesses reported a sudden noise. Then there was the cabin depressurization, the falling oxygen masks. I don't know if you saw any of the video from inside.
I have not seen it.
No.
Of the aircraft?
No.
Oh, it's messed up. Because the dude's out the window.
Yeah.
He's a 61-year-old man. Like, they're holding on to his legs. The suction is so great, they can't pull him in.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, he's just, you know, hanging out there like, you know, nips out, you know, like.
And the thing is,
arms out. Like,
the windows aren't that big.
No.
So think about the suction, right?
No.
I mean, my God.
The dude's from Serbia. He was left hanging out of the aircraft for about 5 minutes until, I know this is horrible, until other passengers could pull him back in the window. He had his seatbelt on. This guy didn't do anything wrong. The window just popped out because something flew out of the freaking engine and hit the window.
Well, they said if he didn't have a seatbelt on, this would be a different story.
Yeah. They say Ryanair said the jet operated by its subsidiary Malta Air turned back shortly after takeoff.
I bet it did.
When the passenger's window dislodged in flight. The plane landed normally. He did receive medical help on the ground. Greek and German outlets reported that travelers suspect engine debris may have shattered the window. A replacement aircraft later completed the route. Aviation authorities in Greece, Malta, and Ireland say they are involved or in assistance with the investigation. But either way, they say the incident echoes a 2018 flight you might remember, which is also on air disasters, a Southwest airline case in which a passenger died after being pulled through a broken window and sucked out.
Damn.
Yes.
Flush it.
I mean, my God. What a terror. I mean, you're in a beautiful part of the world. You're down there.
Absolutely,
in the Mediterranean, man.
One of the first air disaster things I ever saw as a kid was like, I don't know if it was Rescue 911 or whatever, but same thing. Like, somehow a hole opened in a window and it sucked out like three rows of people.
Three rows?
Yeah, because it the hole got bigger. And then when it's not, like, it just, there's nothing you could do at that point if you're close to it. Like, other people are like hanging on for dear life.
The first one I heard like that, man, it was, I think it was flying to Hawaii. And it's not that there was a hole on the plane, but the top half of the plane ripped off.
Yeah.
Right? So everyone survived except one flight attendant because they had their seatbelts on. I mean, they were not really good when the plane landed. I remember that. I remember CNN was covering it. It was live. And showed these people now walking into the airport after this. To say they're having a bad hair day, to put it mildly. But the thing was, when the top of this plane ripped off, everyone's buckled in because they're coming in for a landing was the idea. But the flight attendant had not buckled herself in yet. So she was, there was no warning that this was going to happen. So she's standing in the middle of the plane saying whatever she has to say. Said the topper thought, like, she was just gone.
Hmm.
Like, good God, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever been asked to assist on an airplane was a flight from Charlotte to where my mom lives in West Virginia, or close enough. And I always try to sit up front if possible when I'm picking my seats.
Yeah.
This is a puddle jumper. There's like two seats on one side and one seat on the other side of the aircraft. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? There is someone who takes care of like a service person in the cabin, but they're kind of in a jump seat up front. They're facing you.
Yeah.
So the woman comes up to me and she goes, do you mind? We have a solo passenger and he is a new flyer And he is going to see his grandparents, and this is his first ever flight. And, you know, she hooks him up with the wings and all the things. And
how old is this person?
Well, the flight itself is only like an hour and 15 minutes. It's not like a crazy flight.
Yeah.
The kid's like 6 or 5.
Okay. All right.
All right. So would you mind if he sat beside you? Will you take care of this kid? Like, and I'm like, well, sure, man. No worries. And as soon as we take off, I get this death grip on my forearm. Like, I have never felt the strength of a child who is absolutely terrified.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, would you please? He's like, I don't want to see out the window. So I put the blind down on the side of the window.
It's a good idea, man. I was like,
man, it's going to be okay. And I mean, I swear to God, I thought he was going to freak out.
Really?
Because he kept looking at me like, you're going to help me, aren't you? Right? If anything goes down, I'm like, kid, you're going to be fine, you know? And by the time we landed, it was almost like getting off a roller coaster. Like, he was like, that was awesome.
Oh, now he likes it. Okay.
No, it's great.
Right, it's not that crazy. I've been on enough flights. Like, there's oftentimes kids that fly, and they just...
Sure.
Right, between parents or whatever. But, like, that one little girl, I'm guessing maybe she was 8 or 9. So she's in the middle seat and is on the phone crying.
Right? Oh, God.
I'm in the window. I can hear what she's crying about. So I just go, do you want the window seat?
Is that what she was crying about?
Correct.
Oh.
So she's like, yes. I said... Okay, right? It's a flight for Baltimore to here. I'm not super pumped, but whatever. It's a little kid. But then her dad had given her money. So she is just, every time they offer something to buy, she buys it. She spilled like soda on me and stuff.
Oh.
The staff was very nice to me. They're like, thanks for the help. And I was like,
really? I mean, what are you going to do?
The only thing I said to her,
she
kept buying those boxes, then putting them in her bag. And I said, you know, you just keep some of the money your dad gave you. You don't have to spend it. Well, he gave me $100. I think I should spend it. And I was like,
okay.
And I'm just like, man, honestly, like, I don't want to be a jerk.
Should I step in?
Right. Like, I don't. Boxes on a plane are fine, but like, you're an 8-year-old kid. Wait till you get off the plane. Keep the money.
They're not waiting, man. Give an 8-year-old kid $100, they're spending $100.
Yeah. So I'm with you, Miles. I've been there.
Yeah. Here's a weird one. One backward step into the bathtub left an 82-year-old North Carolina woman stranded for 9 days. Joan Rivett fell on June the 1st. Injured her back and landed in a way that left her unable to climb out of the bathtub. With her phone and cat on the other side of the bathroom door.
And no cat?
Apparently so.
What, you going to tell her cat? What, is her cat laughing?
No, that has to be the worst. I mean, 9 days of your cat just constantly meowing outside of the bathroom door. Hungry, you know, thirsty.
Then you hear it knocking crap over.
They won't give you 5 minutes in there if you're just dropping one. They don't, man. As soon as you walk in there, they're just all over you.
It gets weird when the paws under the door and they start shaking it. Yeah. Like, do you really need to be in it?
With no one nearby family and a few daily obligations, no one knew anything was wrong until her brother, who was in Georgia and calls her every week, could not reach her and asked neighbors to do a check. They saw her car in the driveway. No movement prompted a call to the Haywood County Sheriff's Office, which found her semi-conscious in the tub on June 10th. Again, she fell on June the 1st. She had had nothing to eat, survived by learning to twist the faucet with her foot and splash water in her mouth and face. Her cries and those of the cat were unheard by neighbors, they say.
Why does this cat keep coming up?
She,
the hell does the cat have anything to do with this?
I wonder what the cat's name was. I was wondering how many times she's like, Bubbles, shut up. I can't get out of here, man.
Exactly.
Shut up.
She was hospitalized for severe dehydration and bed sores. Then she went to rehab, where she's now learning not to drink. Now she's learning to walk and credit prayer for keeping her hopeful. There were times I was crying out and said, Lord, help me, please.
Nah.
Release the pain.
Not this time.
Nope, not doing it.
Sounds like Aunt Bunny falling down and said, help me, Lord, please, Jesus Christ, help me, please. The ordeal has prompted her to plan a move to live in with family in Georgia.
I'm sure they're delighted.
And spurred neighbors and fellow church members to step up the wellness checks on people living alone that go there.
I want to know what's up.
Oh, her cat's name is Phoebe.
Phoebe? I want to know what's up with Phoebe.
9 days.
Just because of her phone and her cat. Like, given the choice, if that's me, I'll take my phone. What is the cat going to do? What if the cat had been in the bathroom? Like, okay.
That would have been worse.
I agree. That cat would be on top of you.
Well, it's also going to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. And you got to smell it in there.
Exactly. Sometimes they light that up. So our question, when did you need or lend a helping hand? 206-803-ROCK.
Always.
is live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Our question, when did you need or lend a helping hand? 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Gordon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
What's up, guys?
Oh, you know, just to join life. Sunny Monday. Mm-hmm. I'm down.
Right on. Well, my story, I was in Hawaii visiting my in-laws probably about 30 years ago. And me and a buddy were swimming, snorkeling with the turtles and the fish and everything. And all of a sudden, somebody was like, help me, help me. And I swam back out there, and there was a guy on the bottom blowing foam out of his mouth. And I dove down and drug him to the beach, and some other people performed CPR, and he survived.
Awesome. That is very cool.
Now, do you know how to perform CPR yourself?
Or are you just like, I did enough?
I don't. I was just pretty amped up, you know, almost in shock when it happened, you know, just like the adrenaline pumping, and everybody at the beach kind of took care of it, and the lifeguards, you know, it was high surf, so they were out there surfing.
The lifeguard. Sorry, I'm surfing. All right. Let me ask you this. Say you pull his ass out of the water. Say no one else is at the beach. Would you have attempted CPR? And if you did attempt CPR, how would you have started? Because I'm not like 100% sure how to do it.
Neither am I. But yeah, I would have probably seen enough movies to do it, right?
Well, they change it every like five years.
That's the thing, right?
Because it used to be.
Because I'm still with the 70s. Yeah. Like, that's where I saw what? Plug their nose, tilt their head back a little bit.
Like, one and two.
Blow into their mouth.
One and two people CPR used to be. I think. Please don't listen to this and don't ever do this. I think what they taught us was if you're by yourself, it's 15 compressions and two breaths. If you are with another person in your tandem, then it's five compressions to one breath, five compressions to one breath. Then for a while, they said, don't breathe or don't give them breaths or don't. Like, it was just.
How long was that?
I don't,
because I always thought breath was the thing. I know compression's a part of it, but
I mean, I know in that instance you probably need to do a few backstrikes to try to clear the airway and get the water out.
See, I wouldn't have thought of that part.
But you know, I mean, you got to make sure that the mouth is clear.
I think when I was doing it, it was same thing. It was like two breaths and like, what was it? Maybe like 30 seconds of chest compression, something like that. But then even while I was doing it, they were saying that's when the no breath came in there. That's when came down the pipeline.
All right. Is the breath back?
I don't know.
And my question is, why do they keep changing? Is it like, hey, so many people are dying when we do that? Like, what is...
Why do they change it? So the thing is that from what I did here, and I forget who I heard it from, is that CPR is not meant for you to put air back in their lungs and breathe life back into them. It is basically meant to continue the blood circulation of semi, if not well-oxygenated blood, just give them a chance of getting
better. So the compressors.
The things in the movies where you're doing the chest compression, they hack up blood and they hack up water, and then they're back to it. Very seldom that's not even the idea.
Well, how far can you free dive? For an example, like I lost something as a kid in the deep end where the diving board was. They had a high dive.
So it was like 10, 12 feet, maybe?
I think it was 15.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, that's how high the diving board was at the park. And something went down there, man. And I tried like, I don't know, four or five times. I don't remember what I dropped. It might have been like, you know, quarters or something for my lunch.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get down. Like, I could not get that far down. Like, I felt like my head was going to blow up at about, you know, 10.
Well, it doesn't get easier every time you resurface.
Well, no,
try again,
but I'm
right?
saying, like, I just don't, I mean, I can't do it. For whatever reason. Like,
what was the depth? I'm trying to remember what the depth of our pool was. I feel like it was. Shoot, I'm going to say something.
If it's 8 or 10 feet, I'm confident that I could, you know,
I'm confident
get
I could
my
do
car
8.
Key out of the bottom of the
pool. Yeah, 10,
but after
probably.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how far do you, and then you're pulling somebody out with you. So, I don't know. It just seems like.
People that do it a lot.
Sure, I mean, they train themselves.
It's just the pressure.
Yeah.
Like, I can't take the pressure
and
on
And they know
head.
How to do the.
But so don't even, like, free divers, though, like, do they not use a rope?
A lot of them.
I don't know.
Or if they got to use like flippers. It's hard to swim. To me, it seems hard
flippers,
to swim.
Flippers, I think they do use, but otherwise, I don't know. So basically, what I'm learning here is if any of us need CPR on the air, there's a very good chance we're going to die.
No, because that was what I was judging when I was looking at the phone in the water in San Diego that my wife dropped. And I'm like looking there, like,
How far down
do
you think?
I couldn't tell. That was the thing. Like, I was just unsure.
She didn't even give it a.
Well,
a
no, I was just unsure. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Not until I know how far it is down.
I think it was like 8 feet, it was our deep end. I can make it down there pretty good.
Now, were you certified to do CPR? You were a lifeguard.
Yes.
You were certified.
Yes.
How many years ago was that? And then.
it was when I was, I think I was in high school, or maybe I was fresh graduated. So this was, 15 years ago at this point.
But it's changed.
It's changed. That's my problem.
Well, look, if I need CPR, Mike, I don't want you to think, hey, I'm outdated. Just give it a shot.
Right. I would do it for you. Yeah. I would do my best to try to make it happen. Now, will you die? Probably still. But probably. I would still do my best for it. That was as far as, like, rescues that I was glad I didn't have to do. CPR was one I was really, really glad I didn't need.
Yeah, I think you'd want to avoid. The one I want to avoid. So there's like all these scenarios that happen in TV shows and movies. CPR, like, I don't want to do any of these. But CPR, feel like, okay, I might have a fighting chance of helping you. Delivering a baby, I don't want to do this, but I think I can help you deliver a baby, right? But the
catch.
They need a tracheotomy, right? And like, you're on the phone, and they say, we'll guide you through this. And I'm just thinking, like, look, man.
Yeah, a lot of people do them with pens. Like, big pens.
That's always the
you
thing.
You would try, wouldn't
you? You hollow out the pen, but they tell you, like, where to cut.
I don't know.
Feel for the cartilage.
Do they actually tell you, or is that just what we think from TV?
Look, man, I'm basing on what I've seen on TV,
all right.
And it's always because, successful, yeah. But what I'm saying is, if I did call 911, and I mean, like, time is of the essence, they're probably going to tell you, hey, you got to give certain things a try. We can't be there for 5 minutes, and for what you're telling us, I got 90 seconds left.
Yeah, but do you have a big pen handy?
I mean,
you can't do it with, like, a McDonald's straw. This is one of those green ones that are supposed
what
to
be. What about the steel straws? Steel straw.
Well, you know.
But you're supposed to cut, and I'm like, I can find a big pen. I don't have a knife on me. Like, cut them with
you
what?
Can use, we got a knife in here.
I think the reason that they say to use the big pen is because you use the point of the pen as the stabbing apparatus in the emergency.
And then pull it out, and then pull out the
then input. Pull it out, spit that thing out, and then use the tube.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, I think you're going to die. This is making me uneasy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The other stuff you listed, it's like, fine, right? I've done the Heimlich on people.
You've done the Heimlich,
I would try CPR. Right, but like if somebody's like, you got caught up with his neck and put a pen in there, I'm like, no,
so really,
you don't even
so you would say no,
you literally stab him.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta jam
stab him,
but you gotta get it in the right place. Like, I can stab him,
I just don't
bitch.
Think they're gonna tell you to do that.
What if it's your good pen?
It's a pen I use all the time,
yeah. You're like,
it's a sharp one, yeah.
I can't do this with that.
I bet you I could set a broken leg. That was one that I always wanted to do when I was doing like first aid and scouts.
Why did you want to do that?
Because it always looked so cool.
How do you know if you've set it?
So we would always do these drills where, you know, they'd set somebody up with a, you know, gore patch on their shin or something like that and pretend that they fell over. And, like, you had to set this thing and then splint it to then bring them down off the mountain.
But
and,
how do you know when you've set?
Because then the bone goes back inside the leg.
Well, it's compound.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, well, that I can figure out.
I would like, assume that it would look normal if you'd set it properly.
You talking about something that's coming out of socket or something that's actually broke?
Both.
No, broken. Okay. Socket, yeah. I can figure out. Broken, like, bro, I mean, look, I can put you in a world of pain, but I'm not guaranteeing that I'm helping.
It's like always the first thing that they taught us to do. One, you call for help. But two, they always taught us how to set the broken bone. None of us, not a single one of us actually ever had to set one, but I was always just waiting
for the moment. But you wanted to. You wanted to give it a try.
The moment that I could sit there, you know, I knew where to put my feet.
Is it because you know they're not going to die? This is setting a bone. You're probably not going to die from that, but like...
Much like Miles trying to land a plane that
that's
you know,
stupid,
was out
though.
Of control.
That's
like,
just
like,
dumb.
I bet you I could do that.
Well, look, I either do it or I don't. That's the problem. Like, with me, I'm like, all right, man, you got to do this because if not, you're going to die.
I still think I'd rather take my risk of landing a plane than shoving a tube to some stranger's throat.
All right. Not a Cessna.
I can fathom they say, hey, Ted, I don't know why, you got to land this giant plane, passenger plane. I'm like... All right.
I'm on it.
But I have a hard time seeing the dispatcher being like, all right, just ram it in his neck.
Yeah. Like, but if they're going to tell you how to land a plane, they might as well tell you to ram something in somebody's neck. It's a big thing. Hundreds of people full of fuel. You have no idea what you're doing. They're going to do their best.
You're
to
probably wasted.
To you. That's a good point, too. Cart service, buddy. Sorry.
When did you need or lend a helping hand? 206-803.
That would suck if, like, again, somehow that scenario happens. And they're like, you, dude, we need you. Then it's like, have you had beers? Like, oh, no. Can I not land the plane? Like, no, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Somebody here on YouTube says, I'm getting CPR trained soon for community service hours. I want to know.
All right.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, look, why not? I mean, you might as well learn something.
Learn something, yeah. Instead,
I mean, like, you can pick up trash.
Or hand soup to people. Yeah. Or learn to save a life. Mm-hmm. You know, learn to save a life. Hello, Wesley. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Hola. Well, I'm not sure if you guys heard about the naked fighter that happened the last 4th of July weekend.
The what happened?
So my neighbor and midnight, started knocking on my door after the 4th of July, ringing the doorbell because there was a fire near my neighbor's house. The shared fence between our houses caught on fire when some fireworks properly extinguished went up and caught the fence on fire and threatened both of our houses.
Are you the naked guy?
Yeah. What's that?
Are you the naked guy?
Yes, I am.
There you go. All right.
Yeah. Is this like a news story?
Yeah.
Wait, how did they cover this in the news?
National headlines at this point.
Would it have made national headlines if you weren't naked? Like, do you think your nakedness is the sole reason why?
Absolutely not.
No. You haven't seen this video of this guy?
No. I have no idea.
It was a big story. And to your credit, Surly, you just get out there and
naked,
start
watching the man
fight that fire.
Fire but, sparked by fire.
Yeah.
Could you see your junk or anything?
Oh, look at you. They got a blurred picture of you from the back.
All you can see, well, even the blurred, like even on my regular just blink camera image, all you can see is my butt running out the front door.
Yeah.
I'm fighting the fire, that buck naked, sitting from my own fire.
All right.
They blurred it out anyway, and the blur did crash, so I think I'm blurring it.
Wesley, what's going on with your phone?
Your phone keeps breaking up, man. Is there anything you can do on your end?
Outside, maybe.
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
Well, put some clothes on.
Yeah, please, because you got a flat butt.
So what is it saying in the story?
All right.
We're looking at the pictures.
Oh, man, dude. That's
good work out of you.
You just don't care, do you? That's amazing.
No.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No shame.
Yeah, I guess when there's a fire.
People, you know,
All right, but let me ask you this, though, man. So you run outside naked because your fence is on fire. I understand that, but generally speaking, my junk is not exposed to the elements. So I got how hot were those flames on your junk?
It was pretty dang hot, man. It was raging. Like I said, less than 6 feet from this fire.
And, yeah.
We're
looking at the picture.
For the twig and berries.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there, man. That's wow.
Okay.
Put
out fires. How did you know that the fire had started?
A neighbor from down saw the flame up in between our houses, ran down to ring our doorbell, and actually my fiance was still up with the pets, you know, because fire went off.
Okay.
So she's the one who ran upstairs yelling, and that's what kind of kicked the whole thing off.
Huh. Yeah, now, how many people have contacted you nationally and around the world and want you to show up on Good Morning America or whatever?
Well, I've done 8 interviews, including one for Inside Edition that aired this week. So the Today Show and the Tonight Show are my next step. I mean,
you ever think about just coming out like a bodysuit?
Right, know, you
like,
might as well. You're known as that guy.
Just basically looking naked.
I've been out with my Halloween costumes. I know the new color cut pieces the actors uses for sex scenes. I'm going to get one of those Superman fire extinguishers to walk around town.
Right. Now, do they have an official nickname for you?
One good one I heard was Smokey the Bear, but B-A-R instead of B-E-R. That's a pretty good one.
Smokey the Bear.
Control Commando.
Okay. All right. I like it.
I like Smokey the Bear.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
I mean, it's everywhere. It really is.
I was completely unfamiliar with that.
Yeah. I didn't know either.
It's gone crazy.
All right, now we're watching the actual video. Those are serious flames.
Yeah, now you get back a little bit. What you got some kind of like kids' wheelbarrow out there? What the hell is that? Is that a garden
barrel? Kids' plastic wagon.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. It melted a little bit, which is fine because we wanted to get rid of that thing anyway. Now we have an excuse for the get rid of it and the kids can't whine about it.
So that looks like that's your fence.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a heck of a job,
I'm looking,
man,
at the inside of it. You need to but that's yours because it's facing outward. So that means you got to pay for that, right?
No, they replaced it the next day.
Wow. All right. Very cool.
Did you know who the neighbors were that were shooting off the fireworks?
Yeah, they're our next-door neighbors, and they do this every year. They've never had a problem with, you know, before putting fireworks out and putting them away. So whatever happened this year was just a mistake. But yeah, they do this every year.
So I'm assuming that you have outdoor cameras at your house. That's how this was all captured?
Yeah, all this was blink camera footage. And it wasn't until like after the incident was done, I'm looking at my phone and I see the thumbnail, you know, it says motion detector at front
There's
door.
There's someone outside.
And I see my butt blurred by. I'm like, wait a minute, did my cameras just catch all of what just happened? So I went through and looked at it, and sure enough, every single second of that incident is caught.
So
even when the Pierce County Fire, East Pierce Fire show up.
So did you supply the video to the local news stations to say, yeah, here I am doing it?
100%. Yep, I sent it out to all the local stations.
I know, but you know they got your junk.
CBS was the first one to pick it up that day, and they've ran with it, and it's just been, it's been NBC, Fox, you know, Daily Mail over in the UK. It's been crazy.
All because you put out a fire naked. Damn.
Yep. Hmm. I always knew I was going to be famous in the news someday. I didn't know I was going to be for naked and for a good reason.
Naked firefighter.
Tim got it up on the YouTube.
Did he? Yeah. So now we're streaming it on YouTube, man. That way. That. Everyone can partake of your heroism.
That's great.
All right. Well, yeah. There you go, man. Yeah. Naked firefighting.
Good work, man.
Did he say that
there's going to be an unedited version of that that's going to get out?
But didn't he say his ring camera blurred it out?
He saw the blurb of it, I think, is what it's
called. Oh, okay.
And then they'll give you the preview of, like, hey, there's somebody outside, and they'll give you, like, a little preview on there.
And there he is. And
there he is, just all his naked glory.
Yeah, but he just runs out. No
he's
problem.
Running. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's booking it.
Well, how? I mean, his fence is on fire.
Gotta put that damn thing out.
Right, he did a good job.
That's awesome.
Damn. All right. I mean, look, when there's an emergency, if you're naked, you just... Yeah, they're naked.
But that begs the question, would you take the time to put pants on before you ran out there?
I don't know.
No.
Really?
Not, because, you know, look, when someone calls are frantic, as far as you know, your property is on fire. If I'm naked, I'm going on naked and I'm fighting. I mean, it's not ideal, but I can't imagine I would take the time to put on a pair of pants.
I'll put on a pair of shorts.
You'd have the presence of mind to do that.
I mean, generally, I sleep in shorts, so I think I'd be wearing them, but
you're just getting out of the shower. Shoes, you got a frantic call.
Something.
Like, I think I'm with Ted. Like, my mind is like, the thing's already on fire.
Correct.
Like,
right.
The extra 5 seconds that it's going to take me to put some pants on is not going to, it's not going to get catastrophically worse.
This is why you need some good, like, slip-on Skechers. You know, you need some old man shoes, something to take on.
He didn't have underwear on, but his feet were protected. Well,
hey, he had on shoes.
When did you need or lend a helping hand? 206-803-ROCK.